Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, November 22nd, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 60, the first paragraph, beginning with, "Many of us exclaimed," ending with, "rather than spiritual perfection." We are reading and commenting on just that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Penny L.C. reading the text, Diana R. reading page 164, and Diane B. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Shelley E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, November 21st, 2024, is 21,935-21935. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,937-21937. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Terry G. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Terry.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you, Stephanie, for your service. Good morning, everybody. My name is Terry G. I'm a food addict, normally from Pensacola, Florida, but I'm at a Love gas station somewhere in Alabama. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove all of our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons that we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service, and with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Terry G. I will now ask Barbara W. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Barbara. Barbara, you need to hit star one to unmute, please. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Barbara, thank you so much for confirming that. Barbara, can you hit star one to unmute? Okay. Diane B., are you there? Can you please read that tradition? Thank you.
I'm here. The what? The tradition?
The 12 traditions, please.
Got it. Okay, the 12 traditions of OA. Hold on. Okay. Let's see. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never be endorsed, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Diane B., for jumping in. We appreciate you. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your shares to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that you please keep your sharing directly linked to what we read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, please let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet
Sorry
meeting,
about that.
Everyone...
Sorry about that, everybody. My phone has
okay.
cut off.
Okay, Barbara, thank you. Barbara, thank you. We're going to move on. Thanks. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 60, the first paragraph beginning with, many of us exclaimed, ending with, rather than spiritual perfection. We are reading and commenting on just that one paragraph this morning, and I will now ask Penny L.C. to please begin reading.
Thank you, Stephanie, for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Many of us exclaimed, what an order. I can't go through with it. Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. So for context, the comments are being made about having just gone through and reading all of the 12 steps of our program. And each one asks me to do something. But as a outcome of doing those steps, I'm also gaining principles to live by, virtues, if you will. For example, with step one, it's honesty. With step 7, it's humility. With step 12, it's love and service. So I'm learning how I can adopt these different characteristics to live a full and recovered life in service. I don't need to do it perfectly. I won't be able to. I'm not designed to do it perfectly. But I need to be willing, as it says here, willing to grow along spiritual lines. And what does that mean for me? Well, it means I need to be willing to work on it, to make progress, to realize it's going to be gradual, but nevertheless, I can be consistent with it. And it's a journey. It's a journey, and I may have setbacks, but I'll have steps forward and steps of success as well. But overall, what do we know? This is an awakening process. I'm learning a whole new way of life. And by God's or my higher powers, grace and guidance, I can find that one step at a time. But what it does require is action. I do need to be willing to take the action and to actually work these steps. But the blessings are there on the other side too. And I can claim, you know, that spiritual progress. I don't need to have perfection in anything in my life. I know that if I do my best, my higher power sees it as enough. That's all I know. But the blessing of it is that I get to have these guidances, these directions to follow and to find peace and serenity in a new way of life. And what a blessing. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Penny LC. And we are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you share it on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you when your time is up, and then please finish up promptly so we've got lots of time for everyone who wants to, hopefully, to get in there. So we're going to get first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Veronica Dayton, MC from Chicago.
I heard Veronica, and that was – hold on one sec, guys. I only heard Veronica. Was that Veronica B?
Yes.
All right. Diane. And then who was after?
Diane MC, Chicago.
I've got you, Diane MC.
Roz G.
I've got you, Roz G.
Dawn B, California.
I've got you, Dawn B.
Jessica C, in Canada.
I've got you, Jessica.
Thank you.
And did we have anyone else that I missed? Well, let me repeat who I've got. I've got Veronica B, Diane MC, Roz G, Dawn B, and Jessica C. Was there anyone else who wanted to get in on this first lineup to share? Okay, we'll start with that. We're going to start with Veronica B, followed by Diane MC, and please let us know where you're calling from. So good morning, Veronica.
Hi, good morning. My name is Veronica B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in California. And thank you so much for your service this morning. I have been up since 4 a.m. just listening to both meetings, and I love grow along spiritual lines. You know, for me, that is the whole point for me, that I continue to keep an open mind so that I can grow along spiritual lines. Now, what does that look like for me? You know, I looked up the word spiritual experience, spiritual, anything spiritual, I looked at. And it says some of the things that I found was transcendent experience that can involve a deep sense of aliveness, interconnectedness, the state of feeling connected to each other, a deep sense of belonging. This was many of the, of the definition of spirituality was like a deep sense of connection. And that is the whole point to this way of being for me, that first I have to accept that I have allergy to certain foods and I put the food down. But more importantly, I have to, you know, I get this relationship with God where I get the sense of connection with each other, with you, with the human race. You know, I get the sense of aliveness, a deep sense of aliveness. You know, we're like, I want to live today. Like, I want to, you know, get out of bed and do what God's will is for me today. Like, I, you know, that sense of feeling like there's nothing like feeling that I belong. There's nothing like it. And that's what these steps have done for me. I have a sense of belonging today. I can, you know, because today I'm living a life of purpose. I'm living a life of usefulness. This is a direct result from working these steps. You know, that's what spirituality means for me. You know, just trying to do the right thing. Just do the next right thing, you know. And to not trust how I'm feeling, not to trust that, because my, you know, my default is like impending doom. But anyways, I feel a little scattered, but with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Veronica B. from California. Next, we're going to have Diane M.C., followed by Roz G. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. This is Diane M.C. from Chicago, and I'd like to comment on the spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. For decades, I had the error of reading that progress, not perfection. I took that into the physical part of my disease, and it gave me a lot of slack on slips, relapse. In terms of my allergy, I have to be totally abstinent. And those triggers, those things that can cause me to get back into my disease. But it took me really decades to put aside that error of thought. And I honestly have surrounded myself with other folks in the program that thought the same thing. It just kind of minimized the physical allergy part of the disease. But this, you know, this is talking about our spiritual progress and that, you know, it was my error, but it was an error that I lived in for decades, finding people with that same mind thought. And it did little to help me in this program. It did little there was no spiritual awakening with that kind of an attitude. So consequently, my relationships with people and others was very difficult. So I'm just so grateful for someone freely gave an alternative to me trying OA, and that is, try using the big book. Follow the direction. I'll be your guide. And they freely gave it. And today I try to do the same and passing it on. But I just want to share that with everyone and have a good day. That's it.
Well, thank you so much, Diane M.C. in Chicago, in Illinois. Next, we've got Roz G., followed by Don B. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning. Thank you. My name's Roz G. Palmdale, California, recovered compulsive overeater. And this morning while I was walking my dogs, I was thinking about this situation that happened to me overnight. I was put on the schedule. This has to do with the paragraph. I was put on the schedule at my church to be a greeter, and then my daughter bought me a ticket to see the new movie Wicked, and they are at the same time. And I already told the pastor that I could do the greeting, and I told my daughter a week before that I would be happy to go to the movie. So I have a dilemma, and while I was walking this morning, I was talking to God because the book says that we're supposed to pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for, you know, an intuitive thought. And I was saying to myself, you know, Roz, you are not the same person you used to be. You are not a saint. You make mistakes. Sometimes you double book things. But I'm willing to grow along spiritual lines. So that means I tell people the truth. And so I'm going to put my daughter first and just tell the pastor the truth. Look, my daughter bought me a ticket. But this means that what I'm saying is that I am not the same person I used to be. I would have told a lie to one of the other. And, you know, we just read a couple of weeks ago about how honesty is extremely important. And I did not have the capacity to be honest. I lied about a lot of things. I was usually late, and I'm still working on being on time to things because I am habitually late to almost everything I do. But I am willing. I am not a saint. I am not perfect. I am willing to grow. I'm willing to grow in telling the truth about situations. I'm willing to grow in being on time. I'm willing to change the things that I eat. I'm an abstinent person. I do not eat the way I used to eat at all. I would like to make some improvements with particular like food groups. But I'm telling you, I don't eat the way I used to eat. I am very healthy. So this is just a way for me to say, you know, as long as a person says in this program, I'm still a human being. I'll never rise above being a human being. And so I can forgive myself. I can forgive others. And I can say, okay, I am progressing through being honest. I am progressing through what I eat. I am progressing through telling the truth. I am progressing through becoming a person that is punctual. So I'm grateful that this paragraph gives me the, you know, permission to be a human being and make mistakes.
Roz,
when that I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Roz G. from California. Next, we've got Dawn B., followed by Jessica C. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning. This is Dawn B.
Would you like to tell us the paragraph?
I will. We'll do that after Dawn shares, please. Thank you.
Okay, perfect.
Thanks so much. This is Dawn B., recovered from Southern California. And for myself, spiritual progress is I come into this program, you know, seeking my ease and comfort, seeking to feel better from trying to get that from my food and my alcoholic foods. And then I put the food down and I realize that underneath that I'm trying to seek my ease and comfort, trying to feel better by controlling others and circumstances, and I find that out in step 3 when I'm trying to arrange the lights, the scenery, the ballet. And this program is a beautiful invitation for me to seek my ease and comfort on a daily, moment-by-moment basis from my higher power. And that is just a beautiful way of life. It says in the AA 12 and 12 on page 103 that the surest help of all that we have is our search for God's will, not our own, in a moment of stress. And that way of life, seeking to feel better moment by moment, not with the food, not by trying to control others or circumstances, but pausing. And it's as it says in Bill W.'s Bill's story, it says, I am to sit quietly when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems as God would have me. So I pause, I sit back, and I ask, how would you have me handle this one, God? Give me your words. Please help me to say whatever you would have me say, God. Please help me to see the situation more like you see it, God. Please help me to see this person more like you see them, God. Help me to love them as you would delight in me loving them. Please help me to see this person more like you see them, God. Please help me to love them as you would delight in me loving them. Please help me to see myself more like you see me, God. Help me to say the words to myself that you would delight in me saying to myself. Help me to love myself as you would so want me to love myself. What would infinite love want to say to me? And those are the things I rehearse in my mind. Those are the new lines my director has given me that I am to rehearse and to say over and over that I am loved, infinitely loved, and I am cherished. And it is about progress. I'm either guilty and deserving of punishment or I'm powerless. What is it going to be? I am powerless, and I embrace my powerlessness, and I rely fully on a power greater than myself to do for me what I can't do for myself. And that's a beautiful way of life. Thank you so much for allowing me to share.
Well, thank you so much, Dawn B. from California. It's just beautiful. Well, if you're not sure where we're at, let me fill you in. We're on page 60, where we read the first paragraph beginning with, many of us exclaimed, ending with, rather than spiritual perfection. And we're reading and commenting on just that one paragraph this morning. Next, I have Jessica C. And then after Jessica, we're going to take another lineup. So, Jessica, you're up. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Stephanie. Hi, I'm Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. I also want to share on this idea of spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. It's me that expects perfection, spiritual perfection from myself when I make a mistake. And when that happens, as it often does, I can really get into morbid reflection. But the book says that we stay out of this morbid reflection because we can't be useful. And for me, you know, when this happens, again, it happens often, you know, I make some sort of mistake as a recovered person, and I start to feel really bad about myself. And this is a form of self-centeredness. And for me, lack of humility when I expect this perfection. And, you know, when I fall short of these high expectations and my self-esteem takes a blow and I obsess about what's wrong with me, then I'm not able to do God's will, and I'm just wrapped up in myself. But none of this is from God. You know, my concept of God, when I make a mistake, he gives me positive feedback and lovingly helps me in the areas where I need to grow and change. It's my disease that is lashing out in criticism and makes, you know, criticisms that I can't do anything about. That's my disease. But that's not God. God shows me where I need to change and helps me change. And it happens in, you know, God sets these gentle guidelines and helps me grow step after step. It's my disease that sets these really high targets that are really hard to meet, and says I have to do it all on my own and I'm such a failure if I don't meet them. Like, none of that comes from God. And now that I am recovered and I'm a spiritually sensitive person, as the result of working the steps and also doing a really rigorous nightly review, I can see where there are areas of growth that need to happen for me, primarily around selfishness, feeling entitled, and I can start to do the spiritual work in these areas, which for me is doing a 10th step and understanding what God would have me be in each difficult situation. And it's really helped me to receive other people's 11 steps. You know, my sponsor, who I really respect and admire, I can see where she falls short, and it just helps me. It reminds me that I don't need to be perfect. Like I believe God just wants us moving in the right direction, and He'll help us get there.
Time, Jessica.
Okay, thanks. I'll wrap up with that. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Jessica C. from Ontario, Canada. And if you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Vicki T. in Florida.
Margaret D., Georgia.
Vicki, got you, Margaret. And Margaret, what was your last name?
Jessica.
I'm sorry, your last initial.
Martha.
D is in Delta.
D, gotcha. And then Martha, I heard Chanel P. And I believe you're in Washington, Chanel.
Martha S.
Right?
Yep. And Jeff A.
Okay. I heard Jeff A. And Jeff, where are you calling from?
California.
California. And then there was someone else in there. A Marta, I think. Well, I've got Vicki T, Margaret D, Chanel T, Jeff A, and I thought there was another voice in there.
Yeah, Malta S, can you hear me?
I can. Can you say your name again?
Malta S.
Is it Malta or Malta?
Yeah, Malta with a K.
Malta, okay, sorry. And your last initial?
S.
And where are you calling from?
Mexico.
Okay, got it. Okay. Anyone else?
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to stick with this lineup. Again, I've got Vicki T, Margaret D, Chanel P, Jeff A, and Malka S. And Vicki, you're up first, followed by Margaret D. Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your friendly service. And good morning, everybody. My name is Vicki T, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. This is a great paragraph for me because it shows me how different I looked at this program through all my years. I don't like hard. I like easy, and easy to me means happy. It used to. Happy to me means following God's will today. So that's another big difference. But what an order, I can't go through with it. It's hard. I never liked hard. So I did the steps. I actually made it harder than it actually was because I worked the program like a therapy assignment or a school book assignment. I could not get the spiritual part of the program. So the reason why I read this passage this way was because I couldn't get the spiritual part. It was just completely non-existent. So I read it as progress, not perfection. I don't know. I see well with my glasses. I'm sure I saw the word spiritual, but I skipped them. And so I just lived my life and my program with the food and with all of my other acting out and outbursts that, well, it's progress, not perfection. It's okay. And I'm so grateful now that I have found God and I have a spiritual life and I can recognize that it's spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection, that my food has to be black and white so I can live my life in color, and that I have to be emotionally as sober as I can. And that's not a perfection, but I'm working on that and will be working the steps again in an offshoot of our program to get a deeper emotional sobriety. But the spiritual progress is a daily thing, and it's fun. Because I look at it as an opportunity for growth and change in a fun way. So like when I wake up in the morning and I have my time with God, I'm not looking to stay the same. I'm looking to constantly grow because I've heard in this program, I made this up, but I like it. I'm either going or I'm growing, and I want to stay growing. So thank you for letting me share.
That was perfect timing, Nikki T. from Florida. Thank you so much. Next, we've got Margaret D., followed by Chanel T. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning. Hey, Margaret D., Georgia. You know, the book talks about recovery in many different places. And the one thing that's really kind of where I've changed over the years is in thinking that recovery meant I only ate so many hard-boiled eggs a day, you know, at certain times. And okay, so now I'm quote-unquote abstinent, and I am not disregarding abstinence. It absolutely is got to be a basic part of my recovery. The area that I was so off spiritually was thinking that abstinence was the end-all and the be-all, when actually it was just a stepping stone to getting into the more spiritual. Although, as I think about it, getting abstinent and being abstinent is really a spiritual thing, and I'm going to kind of try and get my thoughts a little bit more organized. When I was not abstinent, I didn't care what anybody's will was for me. I was the one that was, I was willful. And being in recovery, what I'm discovering is it's more about, as we've heard in every share, it is about asking God, what is your will for me? And then, by the way, could I have the power to carry that out? Well, of course you could, because why would I ask you to do something? Why would my higher power ask me to do something and not give me the tools or the energy or whatever to carry it out? I mean, that's crazy. And so when I first began program, and this first paragraph about, or sentence, many of us exclaimed, what? An order? I can't go through with it. That just absolutely describes my mental state. Don't tell me what I'm doing. I can figure this out on my own. If I can't figure it out, I can take what you said and change it and bastardize it and whatever else till it's back to what I want it to be. And so what I'm finding out is the one of the highest, if it's probably not the highest, obedience. If I'm trying to be obedient, I have to acknowledge that there is somebody that I'm being obedient to. I have to acknowledge that they, or that my higher power is more powerful than me. Why would I try and become obedient to a worm? And I guess with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Margaret D. from Georgia. Next, we've got Chanel P., followed by Jeff A. Good morning, Chanel.
Good morning, Stephanie. Chanel T. in Washington State. Grateful compulsive eater, gratefully in recovery today by the grace of God. You know, when I was first here in 2016, first time around, and we'd read things like this, I'd be like, kind of like Charlie Brown, wah, 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 wah. I'm like, what are you talking about? Spiritual. I'm already spiritual, people. It's good. I've got the God thing. We're good. Besides, I just need to lose some weight. I need to stop eating this stuff, or at least long enough to lose this weight. That was me in 2016. Big surprise, I left in 2017 with the resentment. OA doesn't work. Okay, well, I didn't work it. I never surrendered that I was powerless. Yeah. And I came back so badly mangled, as the book says, at the end of 2022, realizing I really am powerless over the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. I can't do it myself. I just can't follow a food. No, I had dieted a lot, thank you very much, and it always failed eventually. but talking to me about spiritual principles, how dare you? I've known God a long time. What are you talking about? No, when I came back, I was like, no, I kind of got it. Like, oh, okay. I'm not able to do this on my own. I'm just not. I do need a power greater than myself, whatever I call that power, whatever my concept of that power looks like. It just has to be something besides me that's more powerful, because I ain't got it on my own, and I'm doomed to fail on my own. The part about spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection, though, I think is misunderstood a lot in this program. If we were in Alcoholics Anonymous, do you think someone would come in a meeting and say, well, I drank a little yesterday, but I'm still good. I'm good. I'm sponsoring. I'm good. I'm either abstinent or I'm not. So I don't think that's what that part means. I think it's really cut and dried, black and white, what my abstinence is, and I need to make sure that I do what I need to do for that, which is what? Work the rest of the steps. And there's where I'm completely in progress, not perfection. Sure, I mess up all the time in life. I do. But the great news is I don't have to turn to food and food behaviors for the mess-ups anymore. Life keeps happening. Sometimes it feels like it's hurtling at me. Sometimes it feels like it's sunshine and rainbows. But I'm here, and I'm in a state of recovery, which means, wow, I get to know God, myself, and you like I never have before. I get to be present. I get to be honest. Perfectly? No. But so much clearer and so much more present than I've ever been, and I'm loving it. I'm actually loving my life now. And so I would just say, if you're new, you're returning, you're struggling, stick with this. Just stay anyway. It's so worth it. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Perfect timing, Chanel T. from Washington. Next, we have Jeff A., followed by Malka F. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi, this is Jeff A. Good, great shares. I almost feel like I should just shut up and listen some more. I guess there's one thing that I had to, there's a phrase, God is my spare tire. And I would use it occasionally when I couldn't do anything else, you know? And really, he needs to be my director and my all. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, I'm a very selfish person, so I'm constantly taking my will back throughout the day. But I've been doing the 10th step now for 2 months and sending it to my sponsor. And I do the spot check inventory. I've been doing that for several months, but I'm realizing I'm doing like once a day. Now I do it anytime during the day. And it's kind of painful in some ways, but the fourth column really helps me see where I was afraid or dishonest or self-seeking. And then the pain, the emotional pain goes away. I do the spot check. Then I talk with my sponsor. If he's not there, I find someone else in the program who's got some sobriety. And then the last thing is, then I talk with someone who's struggling. And then the overeating is gone. And I have a lot going on in my life. But if I do this each day, my life is really pretty. I mean, in some ways it's terrible, but in other ways it's great. And progress, not perfection. I got to do that. And the last is, I have an app. And it says, if you've got a, oh, shoot, oh, I can't come up with it again. anyways, morbid, yeah, morbid reflection. That's me. And I just got to remember that it, I got to do something for other people and whatever God would like me to do. Because I'm very much a morbid reflection person. So, but I set that aside and do the next thing. So, but I don't know. Okay, that's it. Thanks.
Well, that was perfect timing. Jeff A. from California. Thank you so much. And Malka? Malka S., good morning. You're up.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
I hope you can hear me. I don't have good service. My name is Malka S., calling from Central Mexico. Today is actually my birthday, and I'm really so grateful for being here. And I've actually put my food down now for, it's been 18 days. I have the AA app where it tells me how many days, so that's pretty cool. And I love this paragraph. I have not yet reached this part of the book with my sponsor. I'm still very in the very beginning of my recovery journey. But I love the idea of spiritual progress and not perfection, because for me this brings up the idea of honesty for me. Because when I get into my perfectionism, I become dishonest, and I start believing that I can actually be perfect, which is a lie. And when it comes to food, when it comes to my food, I've tried perfectionism before, and all it did was lead me back to binging and, to sad stories. And I realized, like, through finding this program, I realized, you know, that the piece that has been missing for me is that spiritual piece and that God component. I really truly feel like there's no possible way for me to do this, to do life without that component, without God. And I'm feeling really grateful for being here and for being honest with myself and honest with God that I have this, you know, disease, because I think that's also related to self-love, and part of my goal is to learn to love myself and accept myself for who I am and fully believe that God also loves and accepts me for who I am. And now this paragraph kind of reminds me that I can give myself permission to admit that I'm still growing and that I'm still learning, and that I don't need food anymore I don't need to use food anymore as a way of dealing with pain and of the self-feeding type of way of using it. So my first birthday in a vision for you in LA, and I'm grateful, and with that I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Malka S. in Mexico, and happy birthday. So glad you're here, and that was actually perfect timing. It brings us right to the end. We will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Deanna, am I getting screwed up here? Nope, I'm sorry. Deanna R., can you please read A Vision for You? Deanna R., please hit star 1 to unmute. Diana, are you there? Are you there?
This is Diane B. if you need me.
Go for it, Diane. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Page 164.
All right, page 164.
Can you hear me now, Stephanie?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
We can hear you now, Diana R., and thank you, Diane B. Go for it, Diane.
I am so sorry with you that we're having such a rough time with technology. Can you hear me now?
We can. Go for it, please.
Yes, ma'am, I sure will. All right, this is for you. I got dropped off several times. I was like, I got to come back. I'm coming back. So appreciate your patience with me on this. This is Deonora from Georgia right now. Okay. There you may go. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. Oh, excuse me. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to yourself. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as we trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then,